Gavin's call was relayed to her in the drawing room the green hunt favored. On the tiny screen of the drawing room communications niche, he looked sunburnt and nervous.
I'm not coming back, Captain. You'll have to find another chief engineer.
And the others?
They don't want to... They're not coming back either. Not without Lady Cecilia changing... No, I mean they're not coming back.
Harris was suddenly conscious of the need to control her expression in a room full of curious and intelligent observers.
Would you care to explain, Mr. Gavin?
Well, it's just, we don't want you for our captain. We're not coming back. You don't have a crew. We want to talk to Lady Cecilia. She has to find someone else or we won't come back to her. The fact is, you're not fair. That's what it is. You got poor Eklund killed, and you're so rigid, and all you do is criticize, and you don't respect us.
It was so outrageous, so ridiculous, that Harris found herself fighting back a sudden, incongruous laugh, as well as a tirade.
I see you don't know the situation.
I don't, and it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what happened. What you say, we're not coming back as long as you're the captain.
I see. Perhaps I'd better let you speak to Lady Cecilia.
Harris waved her employer over and stepped away from the comm unit out of its pickup range for a moment. In brief phrases, she explained Gavin's message and watched, almost amused, as Lady Cecilia went white with fury and then red.
Damn them!
No, think a moment. They're incompetent, lazy, and we wanted to get rid of them anyway. Now they're also in legal jeopardy, and you have the reins. They don't know what's happened over here. None of it. They don't know you have a crew already. Have fun, m'lady.
Harris grinned. And after a last glower, Lady Cecilia grinned too. She beckoned Harris to join her at the comm unit niche.
Mr. Gavin?
Now, Lady Cecilia, you must listen to me.
You listen to me, you incompetent, whining, malingering, self-serving son of a bitch.
Lady Cecilia continued with a description of his progeny, his intellect, and his probable destination. Harris decided that fox hunting offered unique opportunities for invective, and found her own anger draining away as Cecilia continued her tirade.
And I shall certainly file suits for breach of contract, and I dare say Lord Thornbuckle will be investigating you to see if you're involved in this other affair.
But, Lady Cecilia, what other affair? And why... I mean, we've served you for so long.
How was that?
Fine. And since we know you had one smuggler in the group, I would carry through on that threat and have them investigated.
I certainly will.
Cecilia stalked off, her tall angularity expressing indignation with every twitch of her formal skirt. Harris excused herself early and went upstairs to contact Petrus again.
So, we're going out short-crewed, by civilian standards, that is, and over-crewed on the house staff side, considering Lady Cecilia's guests this round.
The prince had his own set of servants, and Cecilia insisted on adding another cook. Petrus had worked up a crew rotation.
That looks adequate to me, Captain. We could use two or three more, but...
But you're right, this is adequate. If we don't run into trouble, and if everyone works at fleet efficiency, which I expect you will. Something to consider is that we can hire replacements to fill out the list at Rockhouse Major, and we might think of hiring ex-fleet personnel while we're about it.
Are you looking for trouble, Captain?
No, but I expect it anyway. Oh, that'll be Bunny's daughter, Bubbles. She insisted on talking to me.
What, do you think she wants to come along?
Yes, and I can't let her. And I don't like the role she's casting me in.
You'll do her no harm.
That's what her father told me. I'll get back to you shortly.
The blonde girl she'd first seen passed out drunk on a couch in the yacht had changed beyond recognition. And although being in mortal danger changed most people, this was exceptional. She stood stiffly, as if in a parody of military formality.
Captain Serrano.
Yes, do come in. We had a small crisis aboard, and I was just dealing with it.
If this is a bad time...
Not at all. Between crises is an excellent time.
Harris led the way to a pair of overstuffed chairs beneath the long windows and gestured as she sat in one of them.
Have a seat.
The girl sat bolt upright, not her usual posture, and looked like a young officer at a first formal dinner.
I want to change my name.
Harris blinked. She would never have allowed herself to be called Bubbles in the first place, and she could understand why the girl would want to change, but surely there was more to it.
Bubbles doesn't really fit you.
No, not now. My full name's Brunhilde Charlotte, and Rafa and I thought Brun would be a good version, but that's not the whole problem.
Oh?
No. My parents are willing to give up Bubbles, though Mother would prefer some other variation. But it's the other part.
Harris sat and waited. Youngsters usually told you more if you did.
It's the family name. I haven't told them yet, but I know they won't like it.
They would more than not like it if she wanted to give up her family name. They would, Harris suspected, be furious and hurt.
It's just that I've always been Bubbles. Bunny's daughter, Lord Thornbuckle's daughter, and not myself. I feel different now. When we were in the cave, I realized I didn't feel like who I was. I mean, I felt different, and it didn't match. I want to change my name and go into the regular space service and learn how to really do things and find out who I am.
Harris blinked again, remembering her own impulse, quickly squashed, to change her name and apply to the Academy not as a Serrano, but purely on her own merits. She had even made up a name and practiced the signature. The silly romanticism of youth, or, if you looked at it another way, the integrity and courage.
And you thought I could help you?
Yes. You know how things work. And you could take me to some place I could enlist.
Now the problem was how to say no without shutting the girl off completely.
How old are you? And what kind of background would you offer the fleet?
Harris already suspected the answers. Brun was too old to enlist with the skills she could reasonably claim. Having been taught marksmanship by her father didn't count, even if he was a renowned hunter. And lacking any education, the fleet would recognize. At least, under an assumed name.
Which will get you in trouble anyway. After all, plenty of people the fleet doesn't want would like to get in. Falsifying one's identity is fairly common, and nearly always detected. And when detected, is always justification for rejection.
But I thought that if I explained that I just don't want to use my father's privilege...
To whom would you explain? A recruiting officer? He'd assume you were either crazy or trying to impersonate a member of your father's family. You cannot sneak into the fleet that way. Not with our methods of certifying identity. You'd do better if you're intent on a dangerous military career to travel as a tourist outside the Familius Regnant and take service with some planetary ruler. Don't try to be fancy. Just say you're running away from family problems. Someplace like Athar's World or the Compassionate Hand would probably hire you.
But Athar's World is all those hulks, isn't it?
Harris had thought that would get a reaction.
Soldiers can't afford prejudice. Athar's World always needs soldiers. Admittedly, that's because the Fatherland uses them up in bloody and unnecessary battles, but they do give you a glorious funeral, I hear. And yes, they're all big-boned and fair-haired. One reason they might hire you. And they have anachronistic ideas about warrior women. Another reason they might hire you. But they do pay on time, if you survive.
And the Compassionate Hand?
Not an accurate name, but you don't want to call them the Black Scratch unless you've got a battle group behind you. A large battle group. You may not have heard of them. The Familius discourages trade that way. We have a border incident every few years, though. They would like to control Carius and the nearby jump points.
Black Scratch. Compassionate Hand?
Well, you do know about protection rackets, don't you?
Brun nodded, but still looked puzzled.
The motto of the families that settled Chorus 4A was, "You scratch my back and I'll scratch yours." They referred to this as being a compassionate hand, a helping hand. But the first colony they raided on Chorus 5 called it the Black Scratch. Now they control the Chorus system, with heavy influence in two nearby systems, and their official designation is the Benignity of the Compassionate Hand. They hire off-worlders for mercenary actions, often against underground groups who still call them the Black Scratch.
But they're illegal.
Not by their laws, and they're not part of our legal system. Actually, if you're on an official visit, it looks like a model government. I've known a few people who have served in their military, said it wasn't bad if you followed the rules exactly, but they have no tolerance for dissent.
You're saying I can't really do what I was talking about. If my choices run to the barbarians of Athar's world or the Compassionate Hand.
There are others, but I'm not exactly sure what you're looking for. A military career? If so, leading to what? Coming back to your family someday or retiring on your own independent savings? How much adventure, otherwise known as danger, do you really want? Do you have something against your family which would prevent your adventuring within its canopy?
I suppose I want change. Change from what I was and from what people think of me. Lady Cecilia crossed her family, but she did use her own money.
Makes it easier. And there's no reason to do things the hard way if you don't have to.
I don't know what, really. I guess I just want to serve notice to my family, to others, that I'm not the bubblehead they think. That I'm not the designated blonde sure to marry someone like the odious George. And you're saying there are easier ways to do that than to get myself killed by barbarians with blonde braids or a knife in the ribs from the Compassionate Hand.
Yeah, I didn't say it. You did. I'd think you'd had enough adventure for a while. Although, if you liked that, there's training that would help you survive other adventures.
That's what I'd like. What bothered me most wasn't the danger, but not knowing what to do. But I thought you could only get that training in the military.
No. In fact, not everyone in the military does. There are other sources, if that's what you want. Tell you what, I'll give you a list of skills and places I know you can get training, and then you can find a use for that training. How about that?
I'd love it! Can't I come to Rockhouse with you? I already know about Mr. Smith, of course.
No, I'm sorry. We're overloaded with the required escorts for Mr. Smith. But if you're going back there, you can start to acquire some of the things I'm talking about.
Tell me, what sorts of things?
Well, the more you know about all the technology we use for transportation and communication, the better. Not just classroom theory, but practical stuff like being able to maintain and repair the equipment. Lady Cecilia's taken an interest in her yacht now, and she's finding it very helpful. I wish we had time for you to meet Brigdis Sirkin, my nav first. She's done it all by formal schooling, but she's taken every opportunity to expand her skills and knowledge on the job, too.
From the look on Brun's face, she wanted to be Brigdis Sirkin. Harris wondered if Sirkin would return the favor, if she imagined the opulence and privilege of Brun's background. Probably not. That very practical young woman was headed exactly where she wanted to go. Perhaps a narrow goal, but one she knew she could attain. Brun had so many choices, it must be hard to make them.
Do you like space travel?
Yes, but I don't know if I'd like to spend all my time in space. What I really liked, was thinking up elaborate pranks. But of course there's no place for that in the real world.
What kind of pranks?
Oh, you know, like when we were kids on that island and having mock wars. I got pretty good at ambushes. And at school, my first term, they never did figure out who had reprogrammed the water supply so that all the hot was cold and vice versa. You know, silly stuff. Except about Lucienne. Keeping her away from Uncle when he came to visit was serious enough, but necessary.
In Harris's experience, the people who created interesting pranks for the prank's sake, not just to inconvenience people, often had good luck in real-life tactical situations. They just needed to be kept busy.
Tell you what, after we finish this mission, you might ask Lady Cecilia if she'd let you come along on a voyage or two. That's if you've been working on the things I'll list.
Yes, I will. And thanks.
The girl's father had asked her to give advice. It wasn't as if she was going behind anyone's back, but she still felt odd about it. She made a note to herself to come up with that list of skills and resources before they left.